is the Next Trip Podcast with aviation insiders Doug and Drew. Together, with more than 40 years of industry experience, they are creating a network for other av geeks and travel enthusiasts to obsess about all things aviation. All thoughts and opinions are their own.
Welcome to Boarding Pass 53, operating on November 30th, 2020. This is Drew, and I'm here with my fellow industry insider, Doug. We're two av geeks creating a network for other av geeks and travel enthusiasts to obsess about all things aviation. Doug, how was your Thanksgiving week?
Thanksgiving week was good. It's been kind of busy. My parents are in town. They watched the girls, so Marissa and I actually got away for a night, went up to Sacramento, or SAC, as I call it. SAC, yeah. Got a hotel up there, walked around, did some shopping, ate at a restaurant. I hesitate to say it felt normal because we ate outside, and it still wasn't totally normal, but it was kind of nice to get away.
But there a lot of people out?
Yeah, quite a few, I would say. Yeah, quite a few. But I want to talk about this. So I had two aviation-related dreams last night. One I was going to bring up, and one I just remembered. So the first one, you were mentioning your neighbor who thought that a 777 was four seats an aisle, five seats an aisle, then six. So I had a dream. I had a dream last night that I was on a Metroliner, which we talked about that when we had the pilot on, a couple weeks ago.
That's probably what brought that back.
It might have been. So Metroliner is one aisle one. It's one seat on either side. I had a dream last night that it was 2-2-2.
But which is my dream.
But in my mind, I remember thinking, I'm boarding a Metroliner. How in the world is this 2-2-2? It's supposed to be 1-1-1.
Well, that's good.
At least you realize. Yeah. So one part of my subconscious was like, oh, it's Metroliner, it's 2-2-2. And the other part was like, no, you idiot. It's not supposed to be like this. What are you thinking?
Well, you and the family have been watching Lifetime movies. Or was it Lifetime or Hallmark?
Hallmark. Yeah, Hallmark Christmas movies. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so Doug's been watching these Hallmark movies, and I think those would be fun. I can't get Robbie to watch them because he has so little patience with any movies.
Yeah.
And I'll probably probably both fall asleep in the first 15 minutes, but so isn't that the TV channel that has the Sally Field movies every day about Not Without My Child?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. So then I wanted to ask you a Not Without My Child question.
Okay.
So what was your last flight?
My last flight.
Yeah.
Was Salt Lake City to Sacramento on an A321 earlier this month.
Okay. So when you were done with that last trip and you're about to leave the airport and someone stopped you and they said, all right, you can't leave. You have to choose one of your airline or club perks, just one that you can keep. So what would your answer to Not Without My what?
Oh, wow. Oh, man.
I mean, I have some, if you want to think about it.
I would say, so club access would be... Lounge access would be one. Lounge access, because I get that every time. Whereas upgrades and other things like that, it's, and you can pay for those if you want to also. I would say lounge.
Yeah. You know, if I were a civilian, that was my first choice. So it'd be Not Without My club access.
Yeah.
Because there's so few services on board right now. You know, you want to have a cocktail, Wi-Fi, you know, have some relaxation. But then as an airline employee, my first choice would be Not Without My non-rev privileges.
Oh, there you go. No. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's
bring me and I can get you in the club. So then it's one by one. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had one more dream last night, and then I want to ask you how your Thanksgiving was. I was going through TSA screening, like the point where you'd scan your boarding pass, and the TSA person was like, why are you traveling right now? And I said to them, I feel like I'm going through customs. And they said, well, we need to talk to you. Why are you traveling right now? Are you not listening to what the CDC is saying about traveling? And I was like, well, I'm not traveling. I stayed home for Thanksgiving. And they said, well, you obviously are because you're here right now. And I was so confused. Because again,
it's like you can't win.
Two parts of my subconscious, it's like, well, no, I stayed home for Thanksgiving, but they're grilling me about why I'm traveling right now. And I woke up almost in like a cold sweat, kind of like, what did I do wrong? Why are these people attacking me right now?
No, what you just described is a normal AvGeek nightmare, where you're about to board a plane for a fabulous trip, but then something like what you said happened. For me, what happens is everything's ready to go. I'm about to board, and oops, I don't have my passport.
Oh yeah.
And that has woken me up. It's like, oh, thank God, that was just a dream.
So normal people have falling dreams. You know, you're mm-hmm. falling and you shake yourself awake. And we have AvGeek dreams, like the CDC isn't going to let you through, or you don't have your passport.
Yeah, exactly. Those are real problems.
All right, so how was your Thanksgiving?
Well, my Thanksgiving was really good. So we drove to Richmond, Virginia, which is about 2 hours south of DC, where Robbie's sister had this awesome, she had the same dinner she has every year, and it is perfect. It's traditional, all the fixings, turkey, ham, but she had it outside.
Oh, so nice.
She had it outside. Yeah. And people were wearing masks. I brought a mask.
Yeah.
So it was just like being at a restaurant, mm-hmm. you know, when people were up and about, we were talking, we were wearing masks, unless we were in the backyard.
Yeah.
So, you know, we were concerned because his sister has had some health problems. So we were mm-hmm. concerned about her. So I'm like, I'm definitely wearing a mask. But it was nice to see everyone wearing a mask.
Yeah. And weather was good.
Weather was good. Yeah. We were outside. Yeah. And then you were with your parents.
Yeah. Because we canceled our Thanksgiving travel like 2 days before we were supposed to leave, we didn't have anything planned. And we tried to get Boston Market. Marissa actually waited in line for 35 minutes on Wednesday to get it ahead of time, and we were just going to reheat it on Thursday. And they said that unless we had a reservation to pick up the food, that they weren't doing in-store service for anyone, because it that's what everyone wanted to get. So we got a bunch of reheat Safeway meals and just put them in the microwave on Thursday, basically. And normally we would do we would actually cook. We're not against cooking or anything. It was just for a small group with just my parents here. We didn't want to spend the entire day cooking, lose out on that family time. So we hit the easy button this year.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't matter. Even if you guys were having takeout Chinese food, you guys are all together, which is mm-hmm. such a luxury during COVID. So, you know, yeah. I saw my mom at the beginning of the week real quick.
Yep.
And exactly. I thought we saw Robbie's family. You're with your family. So I think it all, we made it work out even with very difficult circumstances. So. Yeah. It can happen safely.
Yeah. Well, speaking of your mom, that's a good transition to this next part. You and I are both fans of domestic wide bodies. We go out of our way to find them. I know we talked a little bit about your flight last week, but it was mainly talking about the CRJ 550. You were mm-hmm. also on that 777 domestic wide bodies. We love domestic wide bodies.
Well, do you want to talk about let's go chronologically, because Doug took a trip on your Delta last 777 flight. Yeah. What we didn't talk about was Doug's trip to the East Coast, which was an adventure in itself.
So I went out of my way to go through Houston to get on United 76 from Houston to Newark. And Drew and I were texting about this quite a bit leading up to it. Originally, it was supposed to be the old business class product. And I hesitate to call it Polaris. I know United calls it Polaris because mm-hmm. that's what the business class is called now, but it was the old seats. And I paid for the upgrade. It was like $129 or something, which I felt like was kind of a steal of a deal. And this was all part of a work trip, so I was getting per diem anyways. So mm-hmm. I figured, well, hey, I might as well pay for the upgrade, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I checked, it was right before I checked in, I checked the seat map one last time, and it was the new Polaris seats. So it was like a huge win. It was perfect.
Was it always a 67-300?
It was always a 300. And I was actually, I'd been checking that flight consistently for a couple of weeks after I'd booked it, because I was worried that they might downgauge it, that mm-hmm. they might pull the 76 away and put a 73 or something on it instead. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was a 76 all along. So that was awesome. The hard products was really nice, and I was actually really impressed by the soft product too. I know we've talked about a couple of my Delta first class flights where you get the snack box. This actually had a sandwich. It was a hot sandwich on an actual plate, not just in a box, like on a China plate that they had heated up. It was just a sandwich. I kind of wish that there had been a little bit more food, but the sandwich mm-hmm. was really good, and it was just nice to have a hot sandwich on a real plate after everything over the last 7, 8, 9 months and
without
the way
self travel. Catering, without yeah, self catering.
Yeah, club. Exactly. Exactly.
But, you know, so, all right. So that we got to give them positive feedback for that. That's good that they're having a fresh sandwich, but maybe you could add a little salad. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Some chips would it kill yep. you.
Yeah.
But no, that's pretty good. So how was that flight? So that's, you flew on a 25-year-old plane. How did it fly?
Yeah, I was 28 years old. Really smooth. The actual flight itself was really smooth, but again, the new Polaris seats are really nice. And you and I had done it on the 7-8, which is mm-hmm. a much bigger cabin. And so it's technically 1-2-1, even though it's kind of staggered. This was 1-1-1. But like we talked about after I was on the Delta 767-400 a couple months ago, the cabin just seems so much wider now with the new interiors.
Yeah.
And the old 767s do.
Well, you probably didn't really notice a difference in that much of a difference between the seat on the 787 or the 767.
I would say it's almost identical. I'm sure it was probably the table itself, you know, you have the little table off on the side. That was a little bit smaller than on the 787. But the seat itself, I think, was probably the same width. And I was showing my dad some pictures of it yesterday. The footwell was huge. The old herringbone style business class seats that kind of go down into like a little cocoon down at the end, mm-hmm. really tight footwell. Whatever they're doing with the new designs, and we talked about this when I was in Delta One on the 767 a couple months ago, the new footwells are like twice the size of the old ones. And it was a day flight. It was like 3 hours. I didn't sleep, but I wanted to try it. You could sleep on your side, on your stomach, on your back. You can move and you're not kicking the seat in front of you, which is always kind of a big worry. Like you're going to be trans-Pacific in the middle of the night, roll over and kick the seat in front of you and wake the person up.
Well, I want to ask you one more question about that seat. So Delta has the doors on most of.
Yeah, that, not on the 7-6. Right? So I didn't get to see that. The privacy though was basically the same as what it was on the 7-8. Where you don't see the other person unless you lean forward. Right. Very private. Yeah.
Well, you know there are people boarding these 25-year-old 767s and thinking like, oh, look, honey, we're on the new Dreamliner.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else on that trip?
No, I want to hear. So moving on to your wide body, domestic wide body.
Yeah. So I'm not sure if on the last episode we talked about the Amex Club at SFO.
No, I don't think so. No, because we recorded before you left.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I just want to share with you, you know, we just talked about I'm not leaving the airport without my club access. That is one of the reasons, because that Amex Club was so good.
Mm-hmm.
So they had the regular food. The only difference was that you would ask the person what you wanted and they would serve it mm-hmm. and bring it to you. They had really good social distancing. Someone actually walked me to my table.
Oh, wow.
The wine selection, the bar was just as it is normally. Mm-hmm. So Amex Club, really good. I felt like they weren't making excuses for COVID. Everything was as it should be, and it was high quality. So, I'm going to plan to stop there as often as I can. But having said that, main event. Domestic wide body, they are easier to find now, Doug, with mm-hmm. COVID. A lot of these airplanes that would normally go international are flying domestic routes. So I found a 777-300, mm-hmm. which is flying from SFO to Chicago.
Yeah, so 4-hour flight. Yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't get Polaris or business. I got the Premium Plus, which was nice. That's like a domestic first class seat.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you about this 777-300. One of the things I love about the 777 is how powerful the engine sound on takeoff. Like you really feel that energy and that power as you hear those, you know, those fan blades like grinding. None of that on the 777-300.
Mm.
So I'm used to the Pratt & Whitney 4000 engines.
Yeah.
This one had the GE90. Oh my God. It was like a 787. It was, I've said this before, it was boring.
Yeah. but tell the listeners what runway you took off on.
Oh yeah. We took off on one of the shortest runways. We took off on runway 1 right at SFO. Yep. that's the runway you'll use when you're going to LA in a 737. And that thing took off. That thing just jumped off that runway like it was nothing. Flight was half full. You know, there's no cargo.
Yeah.
So it was a very smooth flight. And I am going to get real av geeky right now. So I was, I didn't have a window seat, but for landing, I went to the window seat. We talk about the flaperon. So the flaperon is a combination between an aileron and a flap, which is what the 787 has. And this one has that, where the ailerons become flaps on landing. So you're using that control surface as a lifting surface too. But on the 787, when the plane touches down, everything goes up. All the ailerons go up and they become speed brakes. On the 777-300, they don't. So everything comes up except the ailerons, which stay where they were.
Okay, interesting.
Hey, I was getting way av geeky, but that's what I noticed on the 777-300.
No, those are the things that, you and I notice.
Yeah. All right, now, great flight. So you guys, if you are ever flying Transcon, go ahead and make a stop someplace and have one of your flights be a wide body, because it'll go much faster. And especially now with social distancing, no one was sitting two seats next to me. So not only one seat, I had two seats open next to me, lots of space. And the plane's big. So if you want to walk around, stretch your legs, plenty of space. And for landing, I self-downgraded so I could get a window view. So that was all right. So let's get to anything else regarding your trip.
No.
Okay. All right, so let's get some work done. So this week's news roundup has more positive stories as vaccines are nearing delivery and as we start to see light above the clouds. Despite health warnings, we had a busy holiday travel week, as it sounds like Doug and I did, or Doug's family and I did. Despite health warnings, we did travel. The Wednesday before Thanksgiving was the busiest travel day of the pandemic in the U.S., with 1,070,967 passengers clearing airport security. What else do your spreadsheets show, Doug?
Yeah, so we're right now about 40% of last year's traffic, and that's the highest seven-day period in the COVID era. And that's even with, if we look at the historical numbers. So Drew, when is typically the busiest travel week of the year?
It's this week.
Yeah, it's Thanksgiving. And so a lot of people, because airlines were reporting that people were canceling their trips, like Marissa and I did with the kids, a lot of people were thinking that the year-over-year percentage change would drop over the last week, because it's compared to last year, which was setting records for history, for the busiest week in history of U.S. travel. And it actually continued to climb this week. So we're 40% of last year's traffic. So it's still 60% below. But again, like I said, that's the highest in a 7-day period in the COVID era. There were 6.3 million people screened last week, which is about 250,000 people higher than the previous weekly record, which was set in early October. So it wasn't quite the windfall that airlines had been expecting. But we've talked about this, and Drew, you and I kind of expected that with the COVID cases rising, that a lot of people were going to cancel, but it still was a relatively healthy in the COVID era, I guess you could say, travel segment. As you said,
it's good to see. I mean, regardless of the warnings, there's pent up demand for travel. So people are taking a risk. I'm not making a judgment on that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that the demand is there. Now,
I've got a question for you. Do you think that some of that, some of the people who aren't listening to the warnings or whatever we want to call it, do you think some of it is this optimism with the vaccine coming out that they're saying it's just around the corner?
Well, that's interesting you say that, because I feel like people are jumping the gun because they feel like there's a light at the end of the tunnel. So they're getting a head start on normality, and we shouldn't be at normal in any means, because I think there's 100,000 infections a day now.
Yeah. More than that, I think. Yeah.
More than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's still not time, but you know, people have their reasons for traveling and they're taking precautions, and you and I are not going to judge whether they travel or not.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, but Doug, historically, the Sunday after Thanksgiving is actually busier than the Wednesday before.
Yeah.
So This was yesterday, so we'll get the numbers shortly, which we'll talk about next week.
Yeah, so we're recording on Sunday, which means we don't have today's numbers yet. The Sunday and Monday are typically the two busiest travel days of the year. So we'll see what that looks like. Last year, there were 3.1 million people that traveled on the Sunday after Thanksgiving. So yeah, we'll see. And I have a feeling that over the next couple of weeks, we're going to see a big drop in travel. I don't think that that's necessarily COVID related. I think it's just mm-hmm. that normal downtime between Thanksgiving and Christmas when the people who traveled for Thanksgiving aren't going to travel again until Christmas.
Right. So it should start coming back up December 15th. That's probably what we see.
Yeah.
Yeah. So whenever I'm working for the airlines, we don't plan any trips for us or our dependents between December 15th or January 15th. Anyone ask me for a buddy pass, I'm like, don't even try.
Don't because even try.
It's stressful for me when they're traveling because they're not going to get on.
Yeah.
Because
then they're
so
going to call you and say, what's this? I can't get on.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's going to be my fault. So yeah. Unless, you know, I'll just have my mom buy a revenue ticket if she's coming over for Christmas.
Yeah.
All right. So before we get into our main news topics, we got to mention a couple things, Doug, that happened over the last week. Willie Walsh is taking over as Director General of IATA. IATA is the International Air Transport Association. That is a trade organization. It represents 290 airlines. They coordinate those airlines' operations and they standardize policies. So that's your absplaining on IATA. Anyway, so Willie Walsh stepped down as CEO of British Airways owner IAG after 15 years. He was known, I didn't know this, Doug. He was known as Slasher Walsh.
Yeah.
For his tough stance with labor unions. So we'll see what he does at IATA, just like we were talking earlier. I don't know what costs there are to slash at IATA, but maybe he'll make things more efficient in terms mm-hmm. of how the airlines operate. What do you think?
Yeah, I know he ruffled some feathers, a lot of the BA frequent flyers, just some of the cuts he did to meal service and things like that. And I think Julie, when we had Speedbird Julie on, talked about it a little bit and how BA mm-hmm. is, even pre-COVID, have been cutting some of the service. But for IATA, like we were talking about, because they don't necessarily have costs that trickle down to the passenger, I don't know if that's a bad thing to have someone come mm-hmm. in who is very efficiency focused. I think that this is actually a good call heading into the COVID recovery. Someone who is very much driven by the numbers, a spreadsheet type guy, is the person who they're going to need at the helm to
lead
them through this.
Right. And maybe he'll help facilitate the story we're going to talk about shortly about this international passport or health passport mm-hmm. that IATA is, you know, they're driving that effort. All right, another news story, Doug. Per the Wall Street Journal, United has started transporting the Pfizer vaccine. So it's happening. It's being transported out. There's not even FDA approval yet, but it's going all over the world. One airplane can carry almost 1 million doses.
Oh, wow.
And yes, so they're having several of these flights, mainly from Brussels to Chicago. And then from Chicago, they'll be distributed to other hubs, other areas of the country. The vaccine must be kept at, this particular Pfizer vaccine must be kept at a negative 94 degrees Fahrenheit. The FAA has authorized the flights to carry additional dry ice, and I'm hearing it's 15,000 pounds of dry ice per flight.
Yeah, that's what I read. Yeah, I read that too.
Yeah, so there's going to be millions of doses available and just waiting to go as soon as we get FDA final approval.
Yeah, I was reading this week that they are several hospitals and distribution centers around the US and in the UK are expecting to have the vaccine this week, just waiting on the FDA approval. And the National Health, is it System or Service, NHS in the UK?
NHS, National Health Service.
I think, yeah, whatever the S stands for. So NHS has said that they think that the frontline workers could get it as early as the week of December 7th.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. So that we are literally on the precipice now of those essential workers beginning to get the vaccine, which is huge news. You guys, you can't see Drew right now, but he's got a smile on his face.
Yes, that's going to change everything.
Yeah. We're finally rounding that corner, and we've joked mm-hmm. about this. You and I offline, we've joked about people say, "Oh, I can't wait for 2021," and we're like, "Well, it's just mm-hmm. a date. It's just a date on a calendar that doesn't change anything." Yeah. But this is a lot of good news heading into 2021, and maybe we'll start saying, "Okay, well, maybe 2021 is that change that we need."
Yeah, I think it will be. So, you know, we'll see how badly bruised the economy is with COVID-19, whether the vaccine will help. I'm sure it will. Like, yeah. We're positive. I mean, it couldn't hurt.
Moving on to this next one, Delta pilots agree to pay cuts, which helps avoid furloughs through 2022. The pilots agreed last week, so right before Thanksgiving, which saves 1,713 pilots. They're all going to remain employed through January 2022. The Delta chief of operations says that this positions Delta to bring our pilots back into active flying status as customer demand returns, which I'm going to ask you a question on that here in a sec. And the agreement reduces the minimum guaranteed for all the pilots by 5%, and then partial pay to the pilots who were supposed to be furloughed. So they're basically going to get 50% of the pay while they're sitting at home, and they get all of the benefits. So they still get the retirement defined contribution. They get the travel benefits. They get the health benefits. So this is huge. I saw a quote from a senior pilot this week, and it said, this is great news because this is bucking the trend of some of the older guys saying, the furloughs, people have to go through it. And so this is one of the first times in labor negotiations where, and I get that it was contentious. I get that there were quite a few of the older pilots who said, I don't want to give up the pay, let the younger guys, I hate to say suffer.
You know, this whole thing that, you know, I've been through furloughs, so you should go through it too, is just so selfish, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that this is a good sign. And what I was reading is it was saying this is teaching the younger pilots that when the next crisis happens, because it will, it does. It happens every 10, 15, 20, 25 years. We don't know when the next crisis is going to happen, but we're going to be there again. It may not be a pandemic. Who knows what it'll be? But to have the younger pilots now see that the older pilots, a majority of them wanted their job saved, that's going to help the younger pilots in 15 years, 20 years when the next crisis hits.
No, so, this is huge. It's actually 74% of the Delta pilot population that approved it. So it wasn't a small margin.
Which that's actually higher. I believe United, when they voted to save, it was 59-41.
Oh, wow.
When they voted to save the pilots a month or so ago.
Yeah. And that's just going to build positive feelings regarding the company among everyone, that the company was able to bring everyone together to save everyone's job.
Yeah. I've got a question for you, though. So the chief of operations said that they're positioned to bring pilots back when customer demand returns.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened this week? What did we see this week?
Yeah, so we saw on Thanksgiving Day, 263 Delta flights were canceled, and it seems a little bit of a mystery. Maybe they're not letting on exactly what happened. The reason from Delta is that they are short because of COVID, and a lot of people are not on shift right now, so it's hard to get people back. But I don't know. I mean, does it have to do with the 5% pay cut that they recently took to save jobs?
I don't necessarily think it's that. My wonder or my question is, so what I was reading is that they said they were short on pilots, that they needed to fly the smaller planes, so the Airbus fleet, the Boeing fleet, the single aisle fleet.
Yeah.
What I was reading, what happened was that they released a November schedule, and then they added some flights towards the end, because when they released the schedule, COVID was already spiking, people were canceling. And so they said, well, we're not going to need these flights.
Yeah.
And then there was an influx in the last couple of weeks of bookings that they weren't able to get the people to fill those, the work schedule, basically.
Yeah. Cause so it was based on volunteers, right?
Yeah. And they weren't able to get enough volunteers is what I read. So who knows if there was some politicking behind the scenes or not. But this makes me wonder how, even though those people are still employed, they're going to have to go to sim training. They're going to have to get recurrent on the airplane.
Yeah,
that takes time, and it's a finite resource. And I can speak to that from running the sims. Like, it's not like an airplane where you can just put a bunch of people in the plane and go out and do it. Like, the sims have a set profile that you have to fly. And there's just a finite amount of time that you can operate each sim and the number of people you can get through the pipeline.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll see what happened with those cancellations. But, you know, this is a positive story. And, you know, thumbs up to Delta for being able to to get the pilots to agree to that. And it's also, Doug, it's also good for the economy.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, because instead of those people getting a welfare check, they're getting some of their pay, and you know they're probably working another job too. So they can bridge that gap between now and hopefully spring, when most of them will be able to come back. We'll see.
Yeah.
So good job. Good on Delta for doing that. All right, this next one, Doug. So can we claim that we called this like several months ago?
Yeah, well, absolutely we can.
We did, right?
Yeah.
All right, so Doug and I talked about this with this whole COVID, people afraid to travel. We talked about some testing process or some app where you could know that you're COVID-free, and then we could open up all these international routes again because everyone would be COVID-free certified. Mm-hmm. Well, IATA is doing just that. So this is a story from Axios.com, and it's airlines push for COVID-free passports as vaccine race heats up. So this is also from IATA. They announced on Monday that it's in the final development phase of a digital passport mobile app that would receive COVID-19 test and vaccination certificates. This comes after these vaccine candidates have come into place, the Pfizer, Moderna, and the AstraZeneca. So this will give governments confidence that COVID-19 testing can work as a replacement for quarantine requirements. So this is the whole goal, to avoid those quarantine requirements after having a COVID-free test. Qantas, this a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. they said that they support these COVID passports, and they've even mentioned that they're going to be the first airline that are requiring a COVID test. So
COVID vaccine, you mean?
I'm just saying again.
Yeah, COVID vaccine. You said they're requiring a COVID test. I think the CEO said that they're going to require a COVID vaccine. Yeah.
Yeah. Proof of having a coronavirus vaccination. Yep.
Yeah.
So this is not the first one. So there are routes in the world. So there's a app called Common Pass by mm-hmm. another governmental agency that was conducted between New York and London. And then there's another one, AOK Pass, which is being used between Abu Dhabi and Pakistan. So they're working on this in smaller platforms already. But IATA, being the governing the body for all the airlines, will be able to come up with a consistent process. And then there's one more, Doug. Delta and Alitalia are working with the Mayo Clinic in Cleveland for travel from Atlanta to Rome. So this would require three tests, a PCR test, which is taken 72 hours before departure, and then rapid tests at Atlanta and Orlando airports. Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, yeah. You mean Rome, Atlanta and Rome.
Atlanta and Rome. I say Atlanta and Chicago?
You said Atlanta and Orlando. Yeah.
Orlando.
Yeah, that's been open. That's been open the whole time. this is all, like you said, we finally are moving into a lot of positive news. Even though it's small steps and it's going to take a while to actually get there, everything that you just read is all very, very positive. And we all, like, all we can hope is that the governments agree to honor this, because you would hate to see people show up and get turned mm-hmm. down. But I have a feeling it's going to be a lot like traveling internationally, where you show up at the airport and you, like normal pre-COVID, you have to show that mm-hmm. you have a visa for a place you're going. You have, before you leave the US or you leave whatever country you're leaving, you have to show up and have proof that when you get there, you can get in. And this is going to be the same thing. When you're at the gate and you hear them call people up to the gate, please bring your passport. That's mm-hmm. what the gate agents are looking at. They're looking at your visa to make sure that you're good to go. It's going to be the same thing. And so this is huge.
I mean, international travel is still going to be hampered because you're going to have to get this test before mm-hmm. you travel. But I think we can start opening up these routes faster, because right now, we've talked about this on the podcast, our flights that are going to Europe, they're all basically repatriation flights, because you and I aren't going to go to London and quarantine for 14 days, right? If we're going there just for pleasure. So hopefully this will be a fix for that.
Speaking of vaccines, one of our listeners and advisors, Greg, put a poll out on Twitter to see if people would take a vaccine as soon as it comes out. And this is an unscientific poll. This is a Twitter poll, which Drew and I love Twitter polls. If you guys have listened to us for the whole run that we've been doing, mm-hmm. we love Twitter polls. But Greg said, with Pfizer, Moderna, and AstraZeneca close to COVID-19 vaccines, will you take the vaccines as soon as it's available? 53.4% said yes, 34.5% said no, and 12.1% said unsure. Drew, what are your thoughts?
Well, for someone like my mom or someone who's ill, I think the risks of not taking it outweigh the risks of any side effects.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they should take it right away. But to be honest, if there's a real pushback and no one wants to take it, normally I don't take vaccines. I just want my body to exercise its immune system. I haven't gotten the flu vaccine in, as long as I can remember. But if there's pushback and people aren't taking it, I'm going to take it, because you need a certain percentage of the population to take it, right? Yeah. And if, yeah, I mean, what about you? Would you take it right away?
I would. Yeah. And I mean, I'm probably one of the most vaccinated people that I know because of my military service and all.
Would you have a choice?
No, I wouldn't have a choice. Okay. No. And I get so many different vaccines that no one else does that, you know, my body, I'm a walking petri dish of antibodies.
What about Marissa? Would she get it?
Yeah, she would. Yeah. And we've already talked about that, and we'll get it for the kids when they release a children's dosage as well.
Okay. I got to tell you. So what you said, when we're talking about vaccines, like weeks ago, when I asked you, I think your response was, no, you just go in and they just tell you to bend over. It's not a question.
Yeah, it's like you don't have a choice.
How do you feel?
Yeah. No, you don't have a choice. No, I definitely would. I was a little bit surprised that 35% said no on this. But
yeah,
like we said, they're saying that you need about 70% of the population to either have had it or to be vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you saw this week, the CDC thinks that 15% of Americans have had COVID, which is somewhere in the upper 50 million number, even though the actual total number of reported cases is only 13, 14 million right now.
Oh, you think it's much more?
Yeah, the CDC, 50 million? Yeah, the CDC is saying it's close to 60 million that they're guessing have had it. So if 54% of the people take the vaccine and the people who have had it have it, then we're getting close to that 70% mark, which we need for the herd immunity, as people have been talking about. But the side effects of the vaccine, I get that it's new and there are years and years that could go by before, you know, hopefully this doesn't happen before side effects start to show. But the side effects right now are basically the same as the flu vaccine, from what I was reading, that you feel tired for a day and then you're fine and you move on.
So as
of right now, in the early, or I guess in the late stage tests, there haven't really been a lot of negative side effects aside from just feeling tired for a day.
And are you hearing that this COVID flu, if you will, the virus is much simpler than the influenza?
Yeah, because apparently, and again, we're not epidemiologists. I don't know how many times you and I have said that on the show. Yeah. I wish we had $10 for every time we said that. we would have like $100. But anyway,
pay for a month of the podcast. Well,
apparently the flu vaccine, they just have to guess which strain they think is going to be the biggest strain that year. And that's the flu vaccine that they release because there's so many different strains. And
yeah, you constantly hear about people getting the flu vaccine and still getting the flu.
Yeah. Because they get the wrong vaccine out that year.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently the COVID strains, I guess if you could call it that, they haven't mutated that much. And so there are really only a few major strains around the world. And all these vaccines, I guess, are good against all the known COVID strains so far.
Oh, that's great.
Which is a really good sign, because that was a big worry going in, was, well, they might find a vaccine that works against one strain, but not against another one.
Yeah. So it seems like our AVGE community is very, guarded against this vaccine, because 53%, so that's half will take it. 34.5 said no, 12.1 said they're unsure, so almost another 50% is not sure. So yeah, we'll see what happens. But I would just say, listen to our doctors and scientists, and if they're telling us, hey, most of you have to take it if we want to kill this thing, we should listen to that.
Exactly. Well, we hope our listeners in the U.S. had a peaceful and safe Thanksgiving as we head into a very difficult holiday season around the world. We trust that 2021 will be better. We can spend more time with friends and family in person soon.
In the meantime, we'll be here every week with some AvGeek Zen for you. We really appreciate feedback from you. We got 2 new 5-star reviews recently, Doug.
Yeah, and thanks to CJNZ from New Zealand, and we're sorry we're a little bit behind in reading these. The episodes have been pretty busy the last couple of weeks, so we're just getting caught up. But he said, 50 fantastic episodes. G'day, Doug and Drew. Congrats on your 50th episode. I've listened to everyone and love your knowledge, insight, and genuine perseverance over the challenges the industry is having. The podcasts are informative and entertaining, and your style is excellent. Thank you from down under in the currently isolated New Zealand. Cheers, Chris. Hopefully we can go visit Chris here in the coming years, we'll say. I wouldn't say months, but hopefully in the coming years. Chris, we'd love to come down and visit New Zealand.
Yep, absolutely. And he said, g'day, Doug and Drew. So we used to have g'day in our script. We need to bring that back somehow.
Yeah, I think I did that last week. We kind of come and go with that. Yeah, but people it, so we should stick with it. Yeah.
All right, we got another one from Betty-04 in Great Britain. And I think she wants to put Doug's daughter Poppy on the payroll, the non-gifted payroll. So she said, I've been listening to this right from the beginning, and it's honestly the best podcast out there. The rapport between Doug and Drew just adds to the extensive knowledge that they share. And the ops topic is definitely a unique item in the world of AvGeek podcasts. By far the best part, though, is when Doug's young daughter, Poppy, speaks about her experiences of aviation. So cute. Thanks, guys. Keep doing what you're doing. And here's to the next 50 episodes. If they could only hear Poppy when the mic's not on.
Yeah, I know. I have to twist her arm to talk. She's on here.
I think when she comes in, just start recording because she may have some, you know, that we need.
Yeah.
Don't tell her it's taping.
Yeah.
All right, to our listeners, this podcast is your show, so go on our new website, nexttripnetwork.com, and let us know what's on your mind so we can talk about it or give us your feedback. You can also follow us on Twitter at nexttrippodcast.
Thanks to all of our listeners for your support and joining the conversation. See you next week. In the meantime, stay aviation tough.
This has been the Next Trip Podcast. Visit nexttripnetwork.com for information about previous episodes, trip reviews, aviation photos, and other aviation-related content. This is your show, so search for The Next Trip on Twitter and let Doug and Drew know what you want to talk about. Not on Twitter? You can also email them at nexttrip.podcast@gmail.com. Please consider leaving a review wherever you download your podcasts. It will help other listeners like you discover this show.
Is the sound quality okay?
Yeah, sound is good. That's really weird because when I left the meeting that I was in, it said end meeting for all. Uh-oh. Oh, man. The internet's doing the weird thing. I'm good. Hold on. I'm going to turn my internet off and then turn it back on. Okay, there we go.
Got it.
Yeah.
So do you see me?
I can see you. Can you not see me?
Okay. Yeah, I can see you. I can't see myself, but that's okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and they say that Zoom is going to replace business travel.
Oh, this sucks. I'd rather fly to Sacramento.
Yeah.
And I'll pay my own expenses, too.
Yeah, exactly.